Morning. Way too much fun happening around here. You ever have those moments, you know the commercial on television, when the guys are in the car and they're eating nachos or chips or something on a buffalo ranch, and they roll down their windows and the buffalo start crashing their cars and they're going crazy, and the guy says, like a good neighbor, State Farm is, and you know, the State Farm dude is in the back seat, and the buffalo crashes, and he says, in my office, and he's gone, you know, and they're in his office. You ever have those moments when you wish you were somewhere else? I'm in this moment, and this is crazy, and I wish I were somewhere else. I had a moment like that a few years ago after a Sunday service. Kristen and Kendall and I went with Jody and Aaron and Abby and Ellie and Grant, and a few of the college students, which always heightens the excitement, if you know what I mean. We went to China Walk in Wheelersburg to eat lunch. And so as we were there, you know, it's packed, and everything that happens in China Walk is known to everybody. I mean, it's just a very open little room there. And so we're eating lunch, and Kendall is across from me, and Abby is beside us at the end of the table or between us. And Kendall reaches out to get a drink, to grab her drink, and it starts to tip over. And, you know, if you've been to China Walk, they don't serve, like, sissy cups of anything. It's like a man cup for everybody. So Kendall's got a cup half her size, and it's tipping over. And I get this panic, and so, you know, cat-like reflexes, I reach out to grab it and hit Abby's cup, which is full of Mountain Dew. And it doesn't tip. It goes up and then tips and drops right in her lap. She got her drink, and everything, I mean, nothing spilled until it hit her. And when it hit her, everything poured under her and over her, and she's dripping, and everybody's laughing. I mean, hysterically laughing, not our family, not our table, not the college students, but everybody. Even the waiters and waitresses are laughing, and I'm just sitting there thinking, like, good name. What can I do to get out of here right now? I'm embarrassed, and it gives a whole new meaning to that's going right to my thighs, ladies, if you know what I mean whenever I say that. I'm kidding about that, by the way. She's wearing it very well. Well, I wish that were the worst story, and by no means am I going to share the worst stories, but there's another story I have of wishing I were somewhere else. Before I was minister here, I was youth minister in Piketon, and at the time single, and you know the single life you're looking for and excited about finding people that you would like to date, and hopefully they're of the Christian persuasion. And there were some folks I had met, and then there were some folks who were friends. And I had the situation there in Pike County where we had a lot of great friends that we would hang out, guys and ladies, and it was just a good time, always eating at a pizza place or going somewhere like that. And so one Monday evening, we were planning on meeting to eat somewhere. I don't remember where. And in particular, it was just a specific girl and myself. No dating interest, really, honestly. Good friends. With a hint, you know, but that's all. Well, there was a girl that I'd met through some church functions in Columbus, and we had spent a few church activity dates together, and I thought it would be really cool if maybe the weekend was coming and we could work things. I ran this by my wife, by the way, before I told you this, to make sure I got safe clearance, and I didn't, so pray for me. So I'm making this phone call, and the lady in Columbus isn't home, and so I just hang up. I think I'll call back in a bit. If she's not there, I'll leave a message. Well, earlier in the week, I guess this would be a good place to introduce this, my phone company introduced a new feature on our phone. It's called conference calling. To those of you who don't know what that is, it's three-way calling. And maybe you don't know how that works, but it works like this. You make a phone call, then when the party's on the line, you click and dial the other number, click, or when they pick up, you have a three-way phone call. That's cool. I didn't know that when the answering machine picked up on the other line, that you were in the middle of a three-way call. So I proceeded to call the lady in Piketon. And our conversation was recorded on the lady from Columbus's answering machine. The entire conversation was recorded. So I called the lady in Columbus. My intent is to go out on a date. I called the lady in Piketon, and I'm saying, hey, so we're going to have pizza tonight. What do you want to do? Who all? Just us. Okay, that sounds really cool. That'll be a lot of fun. See you in a little bit. So we go have pizza and come home. Have a great time. Just Jesus, for real. But then I come home, and I'm thinking, well, I'll try again. Hey, how are you, Jamie? Good. How are you? Good. So how was your evening? She asks me. Really good. How was your evening? Good. Interestingly enough, I had an interesting phone call today. I'm like, really? Tell me all about it. It wasn't good. Like a good neighbor, you know, that, well, it seems, I got up, and it was on my answering machine. It was you, and then she told me this person's name in our conversation, and I am humiliated, embarrassed, big time, and I'm feeling this tension. I want to be out of this situation, but I don't want to lie my way out of the situation, you know? I'm like, okay, so here's what happened. Well, it didn't go so well at all. I mean, she's nice and courteous, and we talk 2 months or a year later, and so here we are today. I'm kidding. It didn't end there. The story goes like this. In my embarrassment, we had the discussion, and as it ended, I said, well, I'll talk to you sometime soon. The good side of this, a couple years later, the church was looking for a minister, and she called. So that's good, right? I mean, you ever have those moments, the tension? You're like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know where to go with this. This feels so awkward and so weird. I got myself into something I wish I were out of. That's that moment. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Get me out of this. I don't know what to do. Maybe you're there. Maybe you get that feeling. Who knows where or what it is specifically, but if you're there, if you understand it, the tension in all of that, how do I get out of this? And by the way, most of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. You might not have got busted on the answering machine, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh, what am I going to do? That's what the Israelites were feeling while they were waiting on Jesus. That's what they were feeling while they were waiting on Jesus, on the Messiah. They had a promise years earlier, many years earlier, that through their seed, through this family line, all nations were going to be blessed. There was a promise given a long time ago to Abraham and then to Isaac, and it goes through Jacob, and it goes on down the family line. But sin and rebellion had caused distance from God, separation. They were even overthrown and in captivity to other countries. This wonderful family of God who promised he would be with them if they would stay near him. But if they didn't, there would be separation. And now they feel the separation. I mean, the tension, the pain, the agony, not just the fact that they're overthrown. We could handle being overthrown, believe it or not. You could handle being overthrown in the United States of America. What you couldn't stand or deal with is separation from God. You could deal with some other country coming in here and taking over this place. As awful and as horrible as it sounds. But you could not live and sleep at night separated from Jesus Christ. Without the promise of hope, without the coming together of his promise for your salvation and your eternity. And that's what they lived in. That's the tension, that's the pain, that's the agony. Now, for real, some of them, they didn't understand that so much when Jesus was promised to them. They grew up thinking, we're going to have a Messiah, a king, because he was a promised king. They see a king with boundaries. God's talking about a kingdom with no boundaries, but they think king. And as we go through, as the Israelites are in captivity, and we wrestle through that time, we come into the New Testament, and they are still captive to yet someone else. They're under Roman authority now, still in captivity. When they separated from God, they were never fully back to being one with him. And they were living with the result, living with the consequences of, you have made this, what are you going to do about it? And they couldn't do anything about it. And there's the whole tension. God was showing them, he was pressing them, you can't do it. And he was pressing us as we read through the law and we read through the Old Testament. Man cannot save himself. What am I going to do? I've gotten myself in a real mess here. We know the humiliation of messes, right? I just talked to someone. We know the shame. We know the embarrassment, the blame, the pain, the agony of weird situations. And they are in one, and they're hoping for and wondering, when will the Messiah come? And we've heard it through the New Testament as we've read, and we hear the lady at the well saying, when Messiah comes, he will show us. I mean, how beautiful the sound of that, right? A Savior's coming, a Messiah's coming, and this distance won't be felt anymore. This pain won't be felt anymore. This struggle won't be felt anymore. And there's a precious gift promised to them. There's a powerful, amazing gift promised to them, a Messiah who will save them. He's called Emmanuel in the prophecy, God with us. And if you could grab a hold of that, Emmanuel, God with us. They knew God in the cloud. They knew God in the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. They knew God who'd spoken through the prophets. They couldn't get their mind around Jesus, Emmanuel, someone who would come and hang out with us. They couldn't comprehend that one. And they had not seen it come to happening yet, to fruition. And so they longed for it and they hoped for it. And that's where the prophecy, I could see them just hanging on to the prophecy in Isaiah when he would say, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as men rejoice at the harvest. As people rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. And every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. I mean, could you feel it? For to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. God made a promise, and he has a passion and a fire, and he will see it through. And you can see them hanging on to this promise. Yes, some a Messiah who will save me, who will fix this gap between me and God. And yes, probably some of them hoping for a kingdom that would deal with Rome or deal with their oppressors and their strugglers. And maybe they weren't all right in their vision, but they were waiting on a Messiah, right? They were hoping for someone to deal with this. And maybe you, as we've mentioned before, understand that as well. Life isn't easy, right? It's not always what we thought it would be. As a matter of fact, it's not what we thought it would be last week. Things seem to be coming together well, and now it's all falling apart again. We're not getting along. Things aren't working out right. My job, my addiction, my struggle, my family, my friends, myself. It's a deep, dark place when you compromise yourself, right? And maybe you know that call this morning. Maybe you know that pain, that agony, that deep sorrow, not like a good neighbor State Farm is there, but like a good Savior, Jesus is. Where is he? The Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And it's in these moments that we hear the promise that they heard. It's in these moments that we celebrate the very thing they were blessed to celebrate. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. This is how it came about. Mary, his mother Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, so he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you'll give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And in this moment, in this time, you hear this, you feel this, this completion of God's promise. It's what's captured in Luke chapter 2 when it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from Nazareth in Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And Scripture says he went there to be married, or pledged, he went there to register with Mary because he was pledged to be married to her, and she was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for everyone everywhere. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this is how you'll find him. You'll find a baby in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes.' And then a multitude of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" And isn't that what they were looking for? When I think about the people of the ages, the people of this time, the children of Israel, the ones who had struggled and were hoping and were looking for a Savior, a Messiah, they were looking for this Jesus, this one who would bring favor between God and man. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. This is what they were waiting for the whole time. This is what they were looking for, this Jesus who was going to fix everything. And he did fix everything, right? I mean, he made it all right and good. He was born of a virgin. He could be the only right sacrifice. And then as he grew up, he lived a life holy unto God, not without temptation, yes, without sin. He lived a life just like you and me. He grew up and he got bumps on his shins and scrapes on his knees. He was probably cussed at in school and made fun of for his ears, had a runny nose, probably got a fever from time to time, felt left out, felt abandoned, was embarrassed, got humiliated, maybe called a girl and left the answering machine message they didn't mean to leave. I don't know. But he went through everything that you and I went through. He lived it all, had opportunity to sell himself out, had opportunity to be sold out. And he lived it all well. And when folks were hurting, he comforted. And when folks were dying, sometimes he healed. And when folks couldn't see, he gave them sight. But he always told the truth of the kingdom. God has come to hang out with you. I came to sit by you. I want to touch you. I want to rub shoulders. I want my arm around you. I can't get close enough to you in heaven. I'm here, and I want to be in your space. I want to be where you are. I want to do what you do. I want to feel what it feels like to be you. I want to know. And then he died on the cross to destroy sin forever. And then on the third day, he rose from the grave to destroy death. He took it all. He destroyed it all, and you have no longer have sin, or they no longer have sin. We no longer have sin. There's no fear of the grave. There's no wrestling for identity in the cross. or wrestling for identity now that we have the cross. He did it all. And I can't imagine the feeling of those who truly saw it. And a lot of them couldn't see it until later, till after his death. But you hear the stories as Peter is preaching the mighty sermons, as Paul is telling the mighty truths, that this is who he is, and we're no longer afraid, and we're no longer prisoners. We're no longer captive. We are free. And the story is the same for us today. It's the same Jesus. He's the same Messiah. He is still God with us. And I assure you, whatever you're wrestling with, wherever you are in your life right now, whatever the struggle, whatever the pain, whatever the doubt, and we know they're deep. And it's interesting how at this time of year, we would say, we feel them so much more, don't we? There's so much promise that comes with Christmas time. Families are supposed to be fixed right. Sorry, you're right. They are supposed to be fixed right. Relationships are supposed to be better. People who have been broken, we want them to be healed. We want everything fixed well. Some of that we've bought into Hollywood, but some of it's just plain truth. God wants families fixed. God wants relationships mended. He wants the world to know He came to fix, to heal, to make things new, to make them right. And He's doing this well. But the greater thing is He wants everyone to know about Him. He wants the soul and the body, the soul and the heart fixed right, so that the eternity is different for these folks. It makes me think of being in Honduras and serving a sandwich to someone in a dump, and people would say, you gave a sandwich to someone who's living or working in the dump, how have you fixed their life? They haven't fixed their life, but we have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus and a great banquet that's waiting one day. And though this may be how you live your life out here, you will be served well in heaven. And whatever the cause in your life right now, I know God can deal with it well. But some of this stuff may not be fixed till heaven, right? But it will be fixed. And it will be fixed well in eternity. God will see to that. And so there's the promise of Jesus. It doesn't stay like this. There's a renewal. There is a blessing. There is life. He came to give eternal life, to destroy what we had messed up. And so we sing songs and we love songs like this. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. And the world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. And ye beneath life's crashing load, whose forms are bending low, and who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wings, and rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. He's come. He's coming. He's here. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Yeah, that's the songs we love to sing, don't we? Because they're songs of longing to be filled. And he came to do that very thing. But in this great gift he gave us, and he's given us the most amazing gift, it can't stay there. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. How about this? Emmanuel, God with us. But he also wants to be God with them. And so the call from us would be this. I see the gift you've given me, Lord. I'm thankful for what you have done for me, God, that you would be walking around with me. Your presence would be with me. What can I give back to you? I mean, isn't that the only right thought? It's such a precious gift. What can I give back to you? I was given a gift that stunned me last week, and the only right gift for me to get, I feel like nothing. there's some gifts you just can't touch. But then there's this one. And it begs, what are you giving back to me? And I would say the best gift, the greatest gift you could give God, the one who has nothing really to give, that being us, would be yourself. You would give you to God. And so then that Emmanuel, God with us, and he wants to be God of them, would be that you would take, I would take this Emmanuel and introduce him to the world. I would take him and show him to my friends. I would take him and introduce him to folks I don't know at the supermarket, folks I do know. Maybe I'm bumping into them at Walmart. Or wherever it would be, I allow him to become God of them. They see him and they come to know him. And this looks like a lot of different things, and it gets really confusing sometimes for us how to do it. So we thought of a way we could try to illustrate this point with you guys, if you would come up and do this.
I just got to learn how to be a better husband, you know, being that godly figure is just, it's a give myself to you. Lord, I want you to have my life. I want to serve you.
You have served me so many ways. You served me so many times. You remember the homeless man? You gave me money when I was homeless. You gave me encouragement when I need help with my family. You gave me a gift that you didn't need to give me, but I need a gift for my kids. You served me so many ways. I tell you what you've done to the least of these, you've also done to me. And I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I wanted to jump right back into saying something, but that kind of chokes me up a little bit. Jordan drove from home this morning. He's on Christmas break, and they live in Athens. He came to work on that skit with you all this morning. So give him a hug whenever you leave today. Anyway, Emmanuel, God with us. What gift would you give him? In our deepest, darkest moments, in our greatest struggles, when our souls feel so distant from him, when the longing is so great and we can feel the pain of those folks that they knew before they had the Messiah, that the longing of being with him, that he would fix the gap. We live on the other side of that. We have Emmanuel, the one who came to be with us. And so I want to share with you today that if you are struggling with any of that, he is with you. If you're longing for the filling, if you're missing, if the shame you're carrying around, or the blame, or the pain, or the struggle, he is there to take that from you. He already died to destroy it. Why are you still carrying it around? And in the most gracious act, back to him, in the most incredible gift you could give to him, Emmanuel, God with us. He wants to be God with them. So give yourself to him. Turn yourself over to him. This is the perfect time. When we're all thinking about the great gift of Jesus, think about what can I give to Jesus. And when you see the person struggling, and you see the one with the heartache, and the one with the heartbreak, and the one whose mom has passed on is not going to be here for Christmas, or the spouse, or the child, or the whatever the case would be, you be Emmanuel with them. God in the flesh, loving your brother and sister. Let's pray together. Father, those words are so easy to say. Living them out is a whole different thing. And so, God, we pray today that you would be with us, and I pray you would be with me. And help us to see, Lord, not just that you would use us, but that you are using us. And help us to honor you with everything that we are. Thank you for coming. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. As we go into this invitation time, as we sing this song, there's going to be an elder on either side of this auditorium. And they want to do for you what Jesus came to do for you. They can't do it. They can help it along. They want to hear your struggle. They want to hear your heartache. If you're not a child of God, they want to help you take care of that. So whatever your desire.